Royalty in Ruins, Chapter 36, Zedekiah, Judah's Last King. At the beginning of his reign, Zedekiah had the full trust of the king of Babylon. He also had Jeremiah the prophet as his counselor. He could have kept the respect of many in high authority and communicated a knowledge of the true God to them. If he had done so, the captive exiles already in Babylon would have been granted many liberties. God's name would have been honored, and those who remained in Judah would have been spared the terrible disasters that finally came. Through Jeremiah, God counseled Zedekiah and all Judah to submit quietly to the temporary rule of their conquerors. Those in captivity should seek the peace of the land where they had been carried. However, Satan took advantage of the circumstances and caused false prophets to arise in Jerusalem and in Babylon. They declared that the yoke of bondage would soon be broken, and the nation restored to its former prestige. Heeding such flattering prophecies would have led the king and exiles to make fatal mistakes. To prevent an uprising, the Lord commanded Jeremiah to meet the crisis without delay by warning the king of Judah about the sure consequences of rebellion. He also admonished the captives not to be deluded into believing that their deliverance was near. "Do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you," he urged. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 8. He mentioned the Lord's plan to restore Israel at the close of 70 years' captivity. God knew that if false prophets persuaded his captive people to look for a speedy deliverance, their position in Babylon would become very difficult. Any revolt on their part would lead to further restriction of their liberties. Suffering and disaster would result. Why submission was so important? God wanted them to submit and make their servitude as pleasant as possible. His counsel was, "Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens, seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you shall have peace." Verses 5 through 7. Among the false teachers in Babylon were two men whose lives were corrupt. Jeremiah had warned them of their danger. Angered by reproof, they tried to stir up the people to act contrary to the counsel of God concerning submitting to the king of Babylon. The Lord testified through Jeremiah that these false prophets would be delivered to Nebuchadnezzar and executed. Not long afterward, this prediction was fulfilled. To the end of time, people will arise to create confusion and rebellion among those who claim to be representatives of God. Those who prophesy lies will encourage people to look on sin as a light thing. They will seek to make the one who has warned them responsible for their difficulties, even as the Jews charged Jeremiah with their evil fortunes. But as anciently, God's messages will prove to be certain today. Jeremiah had followed a consistent course in counseling submission to the Babylonians. Ambassadors from Edom, Moab, Tyre, and other nations visited Zedekiah to learn whether he would join them in a united revolt against Babylon. While these ambassadors were awaiting response, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. "Make yourself a yoke of straps and bars, and put them on your neck. Send word to the neighboring kings by the hand of the envoys who have come to Jerusalem." Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 2 and 3, NRSV. God had given them all into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and they were to serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Verse 7, NRSV. The ambassadors were further instructed that if they refused to serve the Babylonian king, they would be punished with sword, with famine, and with pestilence. "You, therefore, must not listen to your prophets," the Lord declared, "your diviners, your dreamers, for they are prophesying a lie to you, with the result that you will be removed far from your land. But any nation that will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave on its own land, says the Lord, to till it and live there." Verses 8 through 11, NRSV. The lightest punishment a merciful God could inflict on so rebellious a people was submission to the rule of Babylon. But if they warred against this, they were to feel the full strength of his punishment. The amazement of the assembled council of nations knew no limits when Jeremiah made known the will of God. Jeremiah opposed by arrogant false prophets. Jeremiah stood firmly for the policy of submission. Prominent among those who opposed the counsel of the Lord was Hananiah, one of the false prophets. Thinking to gain the favor of the royal court, he declared that God had given him words of encouragement for the Jews. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 2 through 4. Jeremiah cited the prophecies of Hosea, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, whose messages had been similar to his own. He referred to events that had taken place, exactly fulfilling God's purpose as revealed through his messengers. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, Jeremiah proposed in conclusion, "When the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent." Verse 9. The words of Jeremiah stirred Hananiah to make a daring challenge. Taking the symbolic yoke from Jeremiah's neck, Hananiah broke it, saying, "Thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. Verse 11. Apparently, Jeremiah could do nothing more than to withdraw from the scene of conflict. But God gave him another message. "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him." Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah the prophet, "Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore thus says the Lord, this year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord." So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month, verses 13 through 17. The false prophet had wickedly declared himself to be the Lord's messenger, and he died as a result. The unrest caused by the false prophets brought Zedekiah. The unrest caused by the false prophets brought Zedekiah under suspicion of treason, and only by quick action on his part was he permitted to continue reigning as a vassal. The king accompanied a prince on a mission to Babylon. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 59. During this visit to the Chaldean court, Zedekiah renewed his oath of allegiance to Nebuchadnezzar. Through Daniel and other Hebrew captives, the Babylonian monarch had become acquainted with the power and supreme authority of the true God. And when Zedekiah once more solemnly promised to remain loyal, Nebuchadnezzar required him to swear to this in the name of the Lord God of Israel. If Zedekiah had respected this renewal of his covenant oath, his loyalty would have had a profound influence on many who were watching those who claimed to honor the God of the Hebrews. But the Bible records that Zedekiah rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 13. Ezekiel shown abominations in the temple. While Jeremiah continued to bear testimony in the land of Judah, God raised up the prophet Ezekiel among the captives in Babylon to warn and to comfort the exiles. Ezekiel made plain how foolish it was to trust the predictions of an early return to Jerusalem. God also instructed him to use a variety of symbols to predict the siege and destruction of Jerusalem. In the 6th year of Zedekiah's reign, the Lord revealed to Ezekiel some of the abominations being practiced in Jerusalem, even within the inner court of the Lord's house. See Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 10. Those who should have been spiritual leaders, elders of the house of Israel, verse 11, were offering incense before the pagan images brought into hidden chambers within the temple court. "The Lord does not see us," they declared blasphemously. Verse 12. The prophet was shown women sitting there weeping for Tammuz, and about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, and they were worshiping the sun toward the east. Verses 14 and 16. Now the glorious being who accompanied Ezekiel during this astonishing vision inquired of the prophet, "Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit the abominations which they commit here? My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. Verses 17 and 18. Through Jeremiah the Lord had declared, both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 11. In the closing account of Zedekiah's reign, this charge of violating the temple was repeated. All the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more, according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord, which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 14. The day of doom for the kingdom of Judah was fast approaching. Again, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. Son of man, what is this proverb that you people have about the land of Israel, which says, every vision fails? Therefore say to them, the word which I speak will be done, says the Lord God. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 21 and 22 and 28. Chief among those rapidly leading the nation to ruin was Zedekiah their king. Forsaking the counsels of the Lord, forgetting the debt of gratitude he owed Nebuchadnezzar, violating this solemn oath of allegiance taken in the name of God of Israel, Judah's king rebelled against the prophets, against his benefactor, and against his God. In his own wisdom, he turned to the ancient enemy of Israel, sending his ambassadors to Egypt that they might give him horses and many people. Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 15. Will he prosper? The Lord inquired. Will he who does such things escape? Can he break a covenant and still be delivered? Nor will Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company do anything in the war, since he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, and in fact gave his hand and still did all these things. He shall not escape. Verses 15 through 18. Remove the turban, the Lord decreed, and take off the crown. Not until Christ himself sets up his kingdom will Judah again have a king. Overthrown, overthrown, I will make it overthrown, was the divine edict concerning the throne. It shall be no longer, until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 26 and 27.